The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you in what I call the aftermath of Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Hope your holiday time with family was festive. You had an opportunity to simply sit down around the table, enjoy each other, be thankful for God and His provision, and just have a good time together and just enjoy the holiday season as it truly is launched. It's here and it's beginning. Yes, it's Advent season. It's Christmas time. It's one of my more favorite times of the year. I always go back and I respond and think back in time when my mother was still here. She's been passed away for 10 years and we so miss her. But Christmas was one of her favorite holidays, a time of when she would make cookies and candies and that we'd have as many as 4 and 5 Christmas trees throughout the house. My dad would be so gracious to her in getting these big, humongous trees in the house. And every time I look back in time and I look at those small doors and remember how we used to smash the limbs on the trees to get those crazy trees inside, that woman loved Christmas and the holiday season. But I hope it's a festive time for you and the memories that you have, and also two new memories that come ahead. I think about that even now as I have 7 grandchildren myself. It's unbelievable that I'm there in this portion of time, anywhere from one that just turned 1 year old all the way up to 12. And just a great opportunity to spend time with them. We'll be headed for over Thanksgiving time. We'll be headed over to Colorado Springs to see my daughter and her family as they've entered a new house and just being able to spend time with their and their family. And then over Christmas time, we're going to do the craziness and we're going to fly down to Florida. My son and his family and their 4 kids are down there. So we're going to be on the road during the holiday season. We're going to talk about that shortly, but today it's just a great time. I just want to just remind you of a few things. We still have Vital Men is still intact and we're still going. We have 3 more weeks left as we're studying the book of 1st and 2nd Kings and the lives of Elijah and Elisha. We are fully in now in Elisha and his story. So I just encourage you, on Tuesday nights, right here in Oskaloosa, we meet from 6:30 to 8, and we are also in 5 different locations in South Central Iowa. You can go to our vitalministries.org webpage and see those locations nearest for you that you can get plugged in, and hopefully it's just an opportunity to dig into God's Word and see what it says back only not in the time of ancient times, but how it applies today, even in our culture in modern times. So just encourage you with that. Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. These writers, folks, I tell you what, are knocking it out of the park. It is some good stuff. And I encourage you to get plugged in. All men, hear me on this today. If you're not signed up for Vital Men, Vital Ministries devotionals, you are missing it. So I just encourage you to get on that. Also, too, women as well. We have that as well. My wife is just doing a beautiful job. I'm giving a nugget during the day, and it goes out 6 days a week. You can, again, that's on vitalministries.org. So I encourage you to participate in that and look at those opportunities for you to go out and make this Christmas season, my hope, is in a deeper devotion, a deeper way of understanding, of not also to recognizing that Jesus once come. He came, and He is coming again as we look with expectancy at the next Advent season. But again, it's on its way, and Christmas is hard to believe from today is only 25 days away. Thanksgiving Black Friday is now over and is in the rearview mirror. It says this, that over 112.5 million Americans will pack their vehicles and journey to spend time with family and friends all across the nation during this holiday season. The roads will be busy. It's considered the best and the worst times to travel for Christmas. Almost 7 million Americans will travel by plane. Over 4 million Americans will use trains, buses, or be on a cruise ship. Matter of fact, they are telling people to stay clear of these five cities during the holiday season. Now, again, I'm not being negative toward these five cities, but they say these are going to be the worst and the most five cities that is going to have the most amount of people come into them during the holiday season. Number one, you probably could all guess this, is Atlanta. It's the number one. Number two is New York City itself. Three, Boston. Four, Houston. And number five is Detroit. The worst cities to go and travel. No wonder we are exhausted when the holiday season gets here. We could say we're lost in the holiday spirits, yet it's the most wonderful time of the year. We've packed up with the season of gift buying, Christmas parties, and Christmas obligations. We've become what I want to title for these next 2 weeks, these next 4 weeks in our teaching series, as we are in Advent season during the Christmas time. My heading will be this: Too Busy for Christmas. Now, before you think I'm just going to go on a negative side or make someone feel guilty, that is not my intention by any means. I want us to see, to get a glimpse of the first Christmas. Take us back over 2,000 years to the birth of Christ himself. Rome is now ruling the world, and only God there is Caesar. Matter of fact, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus is the one in charge, influential man himself. That is where we actually get our month of August in our 12-month calendar. I want us to go back in time where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is being told she will conceive the Son from the Most High God, that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and how she hurries to the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is old enough to be her mother, who is also pregnant with the son by the name of John the Baptist. A time of extreme uncertainty, yet a moment in time that is more special than any time since. But let's look together as we jump into the book of Luke, as we open up our Bibles to chapter 1, and we'll see in time when Christmas began and the busyness of life became most holy time for all mankind. So today, if you're traveling down the highways, I just pray that you sit back, enjoy what we're going to have to say today. Maybe you're on your way to church. And I just, again, want to thank you so much for making this part of your journey as you're traveling to church itself, or for some, this is your church time. This is your church. I want to thank you for continuing to listen to us and as we jump into God's Word. But if you got your Bibles and you're sitting at home today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, starting with verses 26 through 33 this morning. And we'll see what the Word of the Lord has to say for us today. It says this, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. This Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be the very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." I tell you what, folks, there's three things that we can read just in this short amount of text that we know three things for sure as we read in this Gospel of Luke. It says this: number one, we know it's from Mary, the virgin birth. That is without a doubt credited, and also, too, written biblically here in God's Word. Also, too, we know that she was engaged to Joseph. She was a fiancé. They were not yet married, but yet she was going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and we'll find that reading that later. And also, number three, she's favored from God. Man, isn't that just, and when you think about that, to be favored from God, and what does that look like? And I'm hoping this morning we get a little bit of a glimpse of what that actually means. But all of this we've heard multiple times reading the Christmas story or in church. But there's one part, again, that strikes me as we read this. And I was with a good friend just this past week, and he's a pastor. And many pastors say, well, how many times can you do the Christmas story without repeating what was being said. And I think that's part of tradition. And I actually don't think there's anything wrong for us to look back and look at tradition itself. Traditions are good to remember how we got here, how the Savior came. And also, too, at the same time as we look at tradition, we look at the new tradition is yet to come, that we look for Jesus to come again. The expectancy of Him coming back and saving us and saving the world. But see, the best definition that I found this morning for favorite is this: demonstrated delight. I want you to think about it for a minute. If you look it up, the definition for favored is demonstrated delight, that it's tangible to be favored by God, that we have delighted Him. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 66, verse 2, it says this: "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who humble and have a contrite spirit and who tremble at my word." Isn't that beautiful this morning when you read that out of the book of Isaiah? That this is what God looks for with favor: those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Without a doubt, we see Mary's humility. She writes a song to praise the Lord. If you looked that up this morning in Luke chapter 1, verses 45 through 56, I'm not going to read that, but there's glimpses of what she says that is amazing to understand her humility and how she is serving God. She calls herself lowly, a servant, and remembers the promise from her ancestors. She clearly has a close connection to God the Father, and He shows His favor with her. That is why she is the most favored. She sought after the Lord's wisdom. She had pure thoughts and desired to please God. This is how she found favor with the Lord. She wasn't too busy to have an angelic moment. Her life was full of doing life and getting ready for marriage, but she still took the time as she prepared for the months of the first Christmas. And that's what's so important as we look at this first point this morning, the angelic moment. There is incredible moments that we have with the Lord, and that's exactly what Mary was doing, having these moments. Today, if we say we have found favor with God, it's usually misunderstood. We as listeners draw conclusions and sometimes look for ways for that not to be true. Our busyness makes us critical and judgmental towards other people when they say they have truly feel the favor of the Lord. I have an aunt who is now in hospice, who is living out her remaining days, and she's being comforted and taken care of as cancer and dementia takes over her mind and her body. She's like a second mom to me. I love her dearly, and I stayed at her house over summer vacations multiple times during holiday season weekends, and simply as my family would travel up to Wisconsin to see my aunt and her family. I had two cousins, especially two young boys that I just loved to hang out with. But my mom and her, with her sister, they spent a lot of time together. And this woman's always ready to greet you with a smile, a kiss, and a plate of cookies. Rarely did I ever witness her ever being negative. She was an uplifter. Her body radiated her joy for life itself. This woman loved who she was, and also God. I witnessed her go through a painful divorce and see one of her children pass away. Not once did she blame the Lord, but I will say that she asked a lot of questions, but never lost or left her faith. She would often watch or listen to sermons on TV or on the radio. Next to my mom, she was the most wonderful woman that I could say that I've ever known. I believe she has lived a full life honoring God and being faithful to Him and to her family. I believe she has found favor with the Lord by the life that she has led and how she loves Jesus Himself. But let's keep reading this morning as we continue that angelic moment going on with verse 29 as we look through, finish it up through 38. But we're going to start in verse 34. And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." I love that part, isn't it? "For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you say have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. In the NLT, we'll see in the reading, verse 29, that Mary was confused and disturbed. But if you look at the English Standard Bible, the ESV version, it says that she was greatly troubled and was trying to discern what the angel had said. Now, here's my thoughts. The Lord is with her, and she's a virgin who's going to, and now she's going to get pregnant, become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she'll have a son, and his name will be Jesus. His lineage will come from King David, and he will rule over the kingdoms forever. It's one of the ancestors, it's the one that the ancestors have been talking about through the whole Testament scriptures throughout generation to one generation. The prophecy was going to be fulfilled. That the world would be a lot taken in all at once. And Mary, if you think about that, she would be overwhelmed by all that was said to her. Mary, in her simplistic life, could have taken in all the information only in one way. She wasn't too busy in life itself. The first Christmas wasn't driven by a culture or even Rome. God created an angelic moment, and Mary's heart was ready to receive it. I hope you hear those words from me this morning, that in the busyness of life, without a doubt, it was busy during her time as well, a different kind of busy, but she was not too busy to take on the moment, a moment when the angel encountered her. Some people might say that, but today that's different. No one ever sees angels like that today. But here's my response to that. It says this in Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to strangers without even knowing that. It's a reference to angels themselves. This past week, my dad and I were together at an intersection in Des Moines, and there was a man who was in what I would say in tough shape, holding up a sign stating that he was a homeless veteran. Now, most people, as I noticed that morning, they simply drove by, did not pay attention to the man himself. But I had a nudge. Now, before anyone gives me accolades or thinks I'm wanting them to think more of me or whatever, I only gave the gentleman $3. In my mind, it was enough money for a warm cup of coffee and a donut. And it's simply taking time to spend the moment. My dad and I talked about it, and I told him about the why. Why did I do it? And to be honest, is to keep my heart soft and to humble, that I look for the best and try to show compassion, even at times when my heart becomes hard. It becomes hard itself, but my way of showing was slowing down in the fast pace of life and caring for someone else. And maybe, probably showing hospitality to a stranger, you never know who it might be. It might be an angel. I'm not saying that he was, folks, but I am saying we have these angelic moments or even moments where we can show compassion. In my mind, it's time to slow down and to show compassion and the eyes, to see the eyes and the hurts of people. Christmas is a great time to do things like that. Take time with your family to watch a local Christmas parade. We have those many, many times. And even our area, we have a local Christmas parade. What a great opportunity to take your family and enjoy the event as our city takes time itself to enjoy the time of Christmas. To give a local mission your area for the gifts of those in need. I think about that, the homeless shelters that are up in the Des Moines area and some in the local communities. What a great opportunity to send gifts or even simply go and serve. Another one is this, is ring a bell for the Salvation Army. And I'm sitting here this morning, it says this, as I'm sitting at KBOE 104.9 FM, there's actually an opportunity here to ring the bell at donations from November 29th through Christmas Eve on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at Hy-Vee, Fairway, and Walmart. What a great opportunity to be a Salvation Army bell ringer. And matter of fact, I have this morning a woman that you can call. Her name is Anna, and her phone number is 641-672-1867. Again, I'm going to say that again. Anna, 641-672-1867. You can go to their Facebook page and follow the links to sign up online or stop into the office at 109 North 3rd in Oskaloosa. A great time to be a bell ringer for the Salvation Army. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. The gifting of the Salvation Army, what goes in the kettles, 90% of that goes to people in need. And you get an opportunity to see that. Another way to do that is to visit shut-ins at your local nursing home. What a great opportunity. You will see, folks, those eyes that were once young will light up, and you will still see the youth in their eyes as you get an opportunity to sing Christmas carols to them. What a great opportunity to share the Christmas season of taking a moment of the busyness of life. Maybe it's as a family. You tell them, and your kids are going to push back. I guarantee you on that. But what a great time for them to show compassion and generosity to people who are shut-ins, people who can't get out. Mary's eyes lift up the angelic visitation. She responded humbly to bring the Lord's servant to become pregnant in the virgin birth. As the song we hear every Christmas, Mary, did you know? I think she was given a glimpse, but to be honest, I don't think she had a clue, even at the moment of what the angel had told her, exactly what was going on, even in the moment of the birth of Christ himself. I think it was such a special time for her, and she had no clue that her eyes would actually look down upon giving birth to Jesus, that it was her Savior as well. And I'm going to love this next portion as we jump into that, of what Elizabeth says, but I encourage you, it'll never be too busy to conceive. Mary was never too busy to conceive the Savior for you and me and all of mankind. Which brings us to point number two, the visit with the family. So if you got your Bibles open, we're going to go back to verse 39 through 41. It says this, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, and at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in these verses, we see Mary hurrying to the hill country of Judea, to the town of where Elizabeth lived. Now, in the ESV, it says this, that she went with haste. Now, when you look up the word haste, it means urgent, need of action, or a hurry to rush. I believe by no means it's stating that the hurriedness was an anxious moment by any means. Not like a lot of men, I think about this at Christmas time, where we get anxious, we wait until the last moment to go out and buy a gift for our wife or our loved one. We procrastinate, we get too busy, we're overwhelmed by the purchase of the last minute gift, so we'll travel to go to town to the mall with an anxious and hastefulness in order to buy that gift. Mary wasn't anxious by any means. She had the news that she couldn't wait to tell her cousin. She knew Elizabeth would understand and not pass judgment in the moment. I love that. In those days, getting pregnant out of wedlock would get you stoned. According to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21, it says this, the young woman will be brought to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city will take her out and stone her to death with stones because she has done an adulterous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So she will be purged, so you shall purge evil in your midst. Man, I tell you what, when I read that scripture, I think tough times and religious law in those days, unlike the day of grace and the cost of it, that would have cost her life. Mary knew in her mind Elizabeth would be a safe place and know what she would tell her would have to be from an angel, and Elizabeth wouldn't be too busy to listen to understand what Mary was about to tell her. When we hit tough times in our lives, we need people who aren't too busy that we listen to and care about. This past weekend, I traveled to Iowa City University to the hospital to see a good friend of mine who's also a writer on Friday. His name is Scott, who just received a new kidney from a donor. A friend of his who is a state patrolman was the one, not a family member, but just simply a friend, had the right blood type and the right organ that would make the perfect match for my friend. Wow, when I think about the moment, this is big. And I asked his friend to be with us at a later date and talk about the situation. But the thing that was so cool to me was this. As my friend, as I went in to visit with him, what he really needed from me was to take a moment of time. And he knew that I traveled from my city to Iowa City. And again, folks, I'm not trying to get kudos from this. I'm just saying, as the Holy Spirit so moves you to step into moments, I encourage you, don't be too busy to step into moments. Just like Mary was not too busy to step in the moment with Elizabeth and vice versa. See, they would have missed the experience. And what he needed from me is no strings attached, no circumstances he needed from me. He simply needed to know that I cared. And Scott is a good man, and we sat and we visited. We shared about life and God's provision in our lives, and I prayed with him. And after it was done, this is the thing that was most interesting at all. He goes, Mike, I need you to go in. I want you to meet the guy that gave me life. Wow. Think about that for a minute. See, without the kidney, Scott was down to 7% of his body that was being the only thing that was not left toxic. He was going to pass away had not somebody come to the table and gave this young man a new kidney. And he wanted me to meet this man, and I go in and meet him, and it was just it was a powerful moment. And across the street, the Iowa Hawkeyes were playing Illinois in the next door in the stadium. But for me, the most precious moment of all had nothing to do with the game by any means. And I didn't go to the game that day. I traveled to Iowa City to be with my friend. And we prayed together, we hugged. And it was the time where, when I think about moments like this, this is what Christmas is about, folks. But let's keep reading about Mary's visit this morning as we finish up with verse 42 through 45. It says this, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why, I'm so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he says. See, Elizabeth is overwhelmed with joy because of Mary's visit. It says that she gave a loud cry. She lifts her voice. God has blessed her above all women. There's no comparing going on here by any means. She's pregnant too, but the Holy Spirit is giving Elizabeth insight. He's giving her the words to express to Mary, honored above all women. Now, I'm not saying that she is to be prayed to or considered to be greater than the other woman, but she is being held with honor. She carries the Christ child, the Savior of the world. Her name will always be honored and revered, a name that will always go down in the time. God the Father chose such a time and such a woman as this, and Elizabeth acknowledged it and was allowed to enjoy the time. But let's take it a step further, asking why would Mary and the child visit her? It was an honor, even her baby. John jumped for joy in the womb. Mary knew she was in a safe place, and going to Elizabeth's house, that Elizabeth would take time to listen and to understand. I remember when I was a young man, when we had a pastor who would come to visit at my parents at different times, and my mom would always have something special made. It was a special event. There would be a pie made or a cake done and made with all the trimmings, coffee and tea made, and our house was in order for the pastor to come and visit. It was something special, and my parents loved our pastor because both my parents came to know Christ under his ministry. His name was Pastor Gary Allen Henneke, and to this day, I still hold this man in honor because he wasn't too busy to walk a rough road with my parents, and it changed our family and the trajectory of our lives that even encounter today. But I'm sure Elizabeth never forgot her intimate visit with family and the pre-Christmas meeting. Elizabeth reassures Mary for believing and what the angel said to her from the Lord, her life would be forever changed because of her faith in the Father above. As I look at Christmas in 2019, it looks really busy. I'm sure many of you think the same thing, but here's my question to you and to me this morning. What if we chose to make it look different? What if our focus became more on family and those who don't have as much? Taking time to be of our busy schedule to read a Christmas story to our family, share the love of Christ with someone who has lost hope about caring for widows or a widower, serving at a homeless shelter, ask the Holy Spirit this morning to give you the heart of compassion in a way that you simply take time and you're not too busy for Christmas. Let me pray with you this morning. Again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to take time, to set a time apart today, to open up the Word, to see how your conception, how you came from the Virgin Mary, to be conceived and from the overshadowed by the Most High God through the Holy Spirit. Wow, that is amazing, Lord. We are so blessed as people to begin to understand of what you have done. That you came to our lowly world, you came to our life, you came to a place of lost hope to bring hope. We thank you, Jesus, for Christmas, for coming, and we love you. In your name I pray, Amen. Folks, I hope that you take this time today as we continue our series on being too busy for Christmas, that we take moments, even sometimes may even have angelic moments, to serve you. We thank you. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.